Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Najee's elbow, he's been aggressive in terms of the treatment. It'll slow him at the beginning portions of the week, and then we'll let participation and how he feels be our guide as we get closer to game time. We have big time challenges in terms of preparing for Kansas City. We've been to Kansas City very recently. They handled us and handled us definitively. We understand that. We're not paralyzed by that. We accept that we didn't play well enough last time. We accept that we didn't plan well enough last time, but that's last time. And we're excited about, we realize where we are in terms of the scarcity of these opportunities, man. We're just living in the moment.
Translation, we got our asses whooped last time. Whipped or whooped? What do you go with, Chris?
W-H-U-P-P-E-D, whooped. Whooped. Not whipped, not whooped, now, like two O's. W-H-U-P-P-E-D.
Because I've also heard we got our asses whipped. You know what else it reminds me of? There's a similar debate about, is a team white hot or red hot?
Well, red hot is you've won five in a row. White hot is you have won like 15 in
the
a
Penguins
row.
10-game winning streak. Were when they red hot
gets,
or white hot?
When something, like when you get to a burning coal, so you got charcoal on the grill, right, Arthur, and you light it. At first, it'll start to glow red.
Correct.
When it is insanely hot,
right.
It glows white.
Correct.
So there's a clear reason why red hot is you've won a bunch. White hot is you might never lose again.
I'm not going to lie. I've never heard the term white hot before.
I don't say it.
Till just now.
I personally refrain from using it.
Yeah,
you
I've
won't
never
hear
heard
white
that.
Hot come out of my mouth.
I'm probably sure.
The Odyssey
where
putter.
We're from, like, the, it's probably why. Yeah. I see.
The Odyssey putter company, like Callaway Golf, they literally have a putter model, a lot of them, called White Hot Putters.
Wow.
So, like, this is a thing. They have a little white insert in them. White
Congratulations
hot.
On all your putting success, Malzy.
I don't use one.
Ooh.
I just know. It's one of those the more you know moments on this show.
Mike Tomlin, at least he can bring Najee Harris to Kansas City to try to change the result of the last time these two teams met up. And by the way, the Steelers' last playoff win was in Kansas City. Arthur was there.
Yes, indeed.
And that was all running back.
Oh, that was a Le'Veon Bell.
Back Le'Veon defense, and field goals in defense. Yep.
If Le'Veon's career ends here on more friendly terms for both sides and maybe they somehow win a Super Bowl, that is an all-time Le'Veon Bell
that
pantheon game.
No
game.
Question.
That he
game,
dragged
the
that
snow
offense.
In Buffalo, he was incredible. That was a Franco Harris-esque game.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he dribbled the dude from the Bengals head on the turf with a stiff
poor
arm.
Dre Kirkpatrick. Yeah.
Those are the three that popped into my head
I still don't think Dre Kirkpatrick has necessarily recovered from
Steelers
that.
Steelers have a weird history with running backs in the playoffs. You know, they had bad luck there for a while. Tebow game, it was Isaac Redman at running back. The next time they went to the playoffs in 2014, it was Josh Harris
Ben Tate
and
as
Ben
well.
Tate.
Oh, yeah, God, I remember Ben Tate.
I remember that. Yeah, we signed him on Tuesday because that was L. Bell had got hurt on Sunday Night Football. Signed him on Tuesday.
Yep.
He was starting on Saturday.
Oh, my God.
And Fitzgerald
and
Toussaint
like, nuts.
In Denver.
Ben Tate, Pony
How can we
from?
Forget Fitz Toussaint?
Yeah.
Auburn, right?
Yep, you got it.
Then D'Angelo Williams after the Kansas City game because Bell was a broken man.
Yeah. Did you guys know that Bell was like completely destroyed
statute
physically?
Statute of limitations have run out on this.
I mean,
they've already
aware.
Been fined for it, Arthur, so you can talk about it freely.
No, in the sense of this, like we were aware that he was banged up, but we all were banged up at that part of the season.
You didn't realize like he would go down a couple plays in and just be like, I literally cannot
like,
keep going.
Like, when I say we were all banged up,
like everybody.
A lot of us were feeling like, hey, if this goes the wrong way, we might not make it out of here walking. You know what I mean? Like, that's where we were coming into that game, but that was just one of those seasons, you know? I literally remember, like, thinking to myself in warm-ups, like, man, I'm hurting. Like, all of us is going through, like, we're hurting right
when you
now.
When you hear, like, people like us who have only done this for a living, haven't played, right, and the talking heads who maybe aren't former players, breaking down these games in the playoffs, from every conceivable angle, and like, oh, what's going to determine it? Do you just kind of roll your eyes and go, it's like, dude, if these guys are healthy, they're going to win. If these guys aren't healthy, they are effed. They're screwed.
At times, yes, we definitely think like that because we do understand, like, hey, when the talent is what it is and everybody is healthy, yeah, the good team or the team that has more talent should win.
Right.
But there are variables like that where you know, okay, this guy isn't 100%
healthy. And COVID's a whole different ball of wax
that,
now
that
with
that,
too. That
has changed the whole
dynamic.
That's
a straight availability thing.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the wild card, essentially. You know, when that happens, depending on what day it is, that could throw off everything.
Like, I keep trying to find ways right now to think about this game under any kind of positive circumstance beyond,
hey. Have you found any yet?
Like, Tyreek Hill doesn't look like himself. That's why I brought up the health thing.
He only had two catches in the last game.
He has also looked like he's been limping more often than not. Like, he still can go. They ran that little rub route that they like to go, roll right, throw right, and he still looked every bit as fast. Soon as the whistle was blown that it was blown dead,
you can see he was
there
hurt.
He is, like, back to the limp, man. So that's
that happens a lot, though, that's around this time of year, man.
Arthur, that's my point, though. That's why I brought it up. That
it's
is the best so far,
man,
that I have seen, is that Kelce looks like he's still in monster mode, but at least the other guy
the
looks
maybe
vulnerable.
Didn't even have to deal with him.
Right, it was the others that really had had that negative impact on us. Not even the main running back. It wasn't
so,
even Clyde.
What
was the other back.
What is the extent,
Darrell Williams.
What is the extent for you guys? Like, how far are you willing to take your hope or optimism for this game?
Man, why won't we put it all the way to the top? I mean, we saw Jacksonville beat the Colts. Not just beat them, handedly handled them.
Was it bricks or breaks off them?
I like to say beat the breaks off them.
Beat the breaks off them.
We go to overtime. We went our game somehow, some way. Then we watch the late night game. That goes in overtime as well, going down to the wire, knowing that both teams could tie. But yet we get a little football integrity, and we get an actual win. We are in the playoffs because of a football miracle.
So team of destiny, you think they've been touched by the football gods here?
Well, at least I'm allotting myself until Sunday morning or Sunday night after this game, and then we'll see, you know, which one was more factual. But I think it's more fun this way because a week ago, we were preparing for this to be the, all right, who's getting fired? Who we re-signing?
Locker
clean-out day. Not re-signing week? But the fact that we get to push that back another week, man, I'm excited.
Let me ask you on that level. Do you think that makes the Steelers more dangerous in that, like, hey,
nothing
we're not even supposed to be here?
Nothing to lose. I mean, yeah, when you're playing a team with nothing to lose, of course they're dangerous because at the end of the day, they can take more chances because if they get beat, hey, they were supposed to get beat. If they get blown out, if the Steelers going to lose by 50, are any of us going to be surprised? Not at all. But if they go out there and win,
they're a double-digit underdog.
Absolutely. They're playing with house money right now. So anything they do is going to look great. Anything they do positive.
There are people mad that they're in the playoffs because everyone acknowledges that they look so bad so frequently. Like, how are you depriving us of Justin Herbert in the playoffs?
So they literally,
like, people
have
are actively pissed
nothing
off.
To lose.
One of the things that I have to fight, though, is, you know, this idea that in 2005, the Colts blew him out, and then they came back and beat him.
That can be answered in one sentence. Roethlisberger was 23 or whatever.
I know.
That's
but
it.
The
defenses
were a little bit different, too, man.
Yeah, and the other part of it is
a little different there.
The other part, like, that also did not apply this season when they played Cincinnati twice. Mm-mm. It's like, well, the second time will be different. They're really pissed off because of what Tyler Boyd said. They need to win this game to win the division. And then that was one of the worst games of the entire season.
Outside of the quarterback being the same and them both having this situation where they got to go
people
on
just
the road.
Grasp it. It's people grasping
that,
for it.
I don't really see
the
same.
They were
any
a 15-1 team
straws,
the prior
Chris.
Year, too.
And that's like, the other part. I'm like, you were 15-1.
And
they
people
were
said they were going to be better the next year because Ben would be better.
Right. They were underperforming at the beginning of the year. And then they heated up. And then after that, we know how everything happened in the postseason. This team, we never felt like was underachieving. We never felt like this team was, oh, man, they got the roster. Man, they coming off of a great year.
We're
the year
all
before.
Shocked that we're actually here talking about a playoff game on a Tuesday.
Exactly.
All three of us are dumbfounded that it actually happened.
But no, it's fun, though.
Yeah. Like, they're, to me, when you are talking about, like, oh, can they throw a scare into the Chiefs, their best quality this year is that, like, from Tomlin on down, Hayward, like, there's a been there, done that where they always believe, Roethlisberger believed in the fourth quarter of that game because he's been there before and he succeeded before that he could do it again, and he did. Tomlin, I think his strongest attribute right this second is that his guys do not quit on him and they keep playing for him. And that, we see that that's valuable because the Colts just rolled over and played
games. Although they did. Because we had this conversation like 4 weeks ago.
I know.
About did the team quit on him.
Well, I was just going to say, Jim Nance in this very game said they're sleepwalking.
Well, I know.
They're not even out here trying.
And then they got up off the deck is my point here. They get up off the deck and somehow aren't dead
yet.
It's
like the scene
of
the crime. This is when they were accused of tapping out.
And like, I get it too because it's, you know, I get why people say that that's a valuable commodity. The Colts rolled over, played dead with the playoffs on the line. Granted, because their quarterback sucks. But when I get right down to it, that means that their greatest talent as a team this year is like survival, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody called them a godless zombie walking the countryside who doesn't belong here.
They can't die.
And everyone, they're like an unwelcome guest that you can't get out of your house. I don't think, though, being like a survivalist team to this point really is a quality in the playoffs. Like, it can only take you so far, especially when the boogeyman, the real boogeyman,
now,
is right there.
That, we say that, but remember before the Chiefs became like the boogeyman, they were a little bit more of a survivalist mode in the postseason. They'll be down, what, 3 scores, 2 games back-to-back? I mean, if I remember correctly, even in the AFC Championship game, they were down.
Arthur, they won the Super Bowl every one.
They were down
Houston,
multiple
Tennessee,
scores.
And the Super Bowl against the
49ers.
And we
applauded
them
because we said, what, man, that's one of them teams, no matter how big you get up on them, they're going to come back. They're going to keep fighting. And that
but
is,
it was different for
now,
me because of
skill,
Mahomes,
right,
though.
The skill level was a lot better, and I get that part. But what I'm saying is for the Steelers team, that is something that you can kind of point to because all
the
games
Steelers were down
won,
24-0, the way that I would imagine this team coming back is like the Chiefs do the football equivalent of like stepping on a rusty nail, falling down the steps, and the Steelers are there to pick.
Now,
you know what I mean? They just keep shooting themselves in the foot.
That, but have we not seen that on multiple occasions? Now, it hasn't always equated to a win, but that Chargers game, that Vikings game.
You're talking about more keeping it close then, than anything.
They still end up losing by 1 score in those games with an opportunity to win both of those games.
But do you think they can do that in this matchup?
All I'm saying is this. I don't feel like it's such a far-gone conclusion that they can't.
Okay.
Because we've already seen them do it against quality opponents.
See,
against teams that we viewed as playoff teams at the time.
Chargers
I think they
think they need to flip the script. And I think there's the potential for that in this way. There are things about them offensively that are different going into this game than the last time they played 3 weeks ago. First of all, they have a totally different offensive line coach.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone.
They also have a better center.
So we like Chris Morgan all of a sudden?
Well, we don't.
We're on that train? I'm just checking.
I'll just say I like him a lot more than Clem because he's actually been a line coach before this season.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm just checking.
I also like J.C. Hassenauer a hell of a lot more than Kendrick
Green. That's the other thing.
I would agree with that.
That's where Green pretty much got benched and the ankle injury showed up. And now
who's
he's
the best defensive player on that team?
Oh, yeah.
Chris Jones.
Chris
and
Jones,
what does Chris Jones do really well? Just bully guys on the inside? Hassenauer, I don't think, is going to win that matchup. If he does, then I'm going to go shake his hand, but he's going to hold up better than Kendrick.
Hassenauer is going to be more respectable. That's the thing.
He's not going to get put on skates repeatedly.
There is some potential, I think, for them to have success running the ball in this game.
Okay.
And I honestly, like, keeping the ball away from the Kansas City offense is the way
it does have to play. It has to play out the way the only 2000.
We can't turn the ball over.
Yeah. The only 2005 comparison I will abide, though.
That's the problem.
Arthur. The 2005 Colts game, I mean, I remember it watching it as a fan 20 years old and thinking, like, they get out to that unbelievably fast start where Ben's passing them down the field, hitting Heath and all that. They get those two touchdowns. That I don't mean, like, needs to, has to happen here.
You think they need to come out and throw the ball for the beginning?
I don't agree with that. They have to get on top of the Chiefs early score-wise. They cannot afford to do the zombie
but
rising
But Arthur disagrees
the
with that. He See, thinks they I, can yeah. dig a hole and stay and come back. That's their MO all year.
And this is the thing. I don't prefer it. I prefer them to come out and actually compete early on in the game. But what I'm saying is I don't think it's this foregone conclusion that if they got down by multiple scores that they – just can never have an ounce or a glimmer of hope. I don't think
Arthur, if they get down by multiple scores, you know what old Mulsey would be tempted to do? Just turn off that TV, time to go head to sleep.
Nothing new could happen here. That's fine, but like I said, if I was just bringing this up out of thin air, that's one thing. I'm not. I'm bringing it up because we've seen this happen on numerous occasions, not last year, not the year before last, we're talking this year.
I would want to go back, and I haven't yet. I would want to go back and see if the numbers from Najee in that game are legitimate or not. Because he did well against Kansas City, but it was just like they were down
being,
so many points.
No, he's talking about the second half.
Yeah, so do we put any stock in that?
Not really.
4.9 yards per carry, almost 100
yard
game.
Did we ever put a ton of stock in
Ben's numbers?
Because
we knew
exactly
what they started to do. They started to go too high and just allow you to, okay, you're going to get this yardage, get this yardage. And even then, they still weren't able to effectively do it to the way they wanted to. I mean, this is a very difficult matchup. All I'm saying is I'm not looking at it as, oh, my goodness, this is the boogeyman. We don't have a chance. But this is going to be a tough game.
Well, the other thing, too, is they have – all right, this is going to sound crazy.
They have
the Steelers have the best player in the game.
They do, yeah.
Watt is the best player in the game.
I can't get there.
Why?
Mahomes is the best
player. Who's had a better year?
Well, less
better
about
year
the
and best,
but
better
but
year and best player
who,
are two different things.
So wait a minute. If Aaron Donald in his prime
who can have a bigger impact on the game this week?
Mahomes.
See, I feel like TJ can if TJ's getting those strip sacks. We've seen where TJ can change how you protect. We've seen where TJ could make you take Mark Andrews, your best receiver, and make him have to delay 2 to 3 seconds before he releases every single
You think they can do that
play.
With Kelce? You think that Kansas City would put him in that spot?
Well,
we didn't see it in the first game.
And they didn't because we didn't have to because TJ was banged up.
So
you're not blocking TJ with your backup right tackle like they did last game.
I mean, he was basically invisible
in
the first
exactly,
game.
But that was the backup right tackle.
No quarterback hits, no sacks, right two pressures, tackle, one tackle.
Put the backup right tackle out there, and you block the same way they did that first game, and TJ
that's
will
what
terrorize.
I wanted to ask you. Do you think it can
TJ will terrorize
Do you think it
game.
Can look like the Super Bowl for the Chiefs? Where Mahomes is running around.
Well, the reason I say I don't, because the rest of their O-line is still good. The matchup that you want is TJ versus their right tackle. But if they go back and see what they did first game versus what they're going to need to do this game, it's going to involve whether it's Kelce or another player.
But if they
player.
Overload on him, there's Hayward, there's Highsmith.
No, but this is the thing, though. Baltimore was doing the same thing, and you don't have to necessarily overload on him.
Okay.
But what you have to do is tell your tight end, hey, help. 2 seconds. 3 seconds.
We need you.
Not a bump and go, because certain teams will bump him and go, and then that's when you see him spin off or you see him still make a play. You watch what Mark Andrews is doing from the Ravens. It was 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. Then he was releasing. Now, it still would help him because, obviously, like, guys would be in coverage, so he could still get his routes and stuff like that. But it made sure that TJ was not going to be able to have the impact that we're accustomed to seeing him have. Kansas City didn't do any of that first game.
They didn't have to.
But they didn't have to. You're right. We all saw him grimacing, right? At times, not even on the field. If they come back with that approach this week, they're going to have significant issues, and that is where I feel like TJ can take over this game a lot more than Mahomes, because if you're playing Mahomes right now, the MO on him is what? Play too high and make him have to throw 30 passes to get up the field to get a touchdown. Hopefully he gets too greedy. That's the MO on him.
So but he hasn't lately. Like
lately, he hasn't. And I'm with you on that. But we saw at the beginning of the first 5-6 games, what was he doing? He was doing that. So for me, I'm saying this. I'm going to make you – you might win this game, but you're going to have to get every little inch. I'm not going to allow you to get the big over-the-top play on me. And as long as you don't get that, the Steelers are going to be in this game.
TJ Watt's having the best year of anybody on either team in this game. Patrick Mahomes is the best player in this game. Like, to me, there's a difference. If the Steelers are playing the Rams somehow in a game, I'd say T.J. Watt's having the best year. Aaron Donald's the best player
on
the field.
And it's quarterback talk. I understand. I get it.
Well, I'm saying
it's
Aaron
quarterback
Donald,
talk.
Though.
No, and I'm with you on that. But a lot of people that are probably listening right now say, you know what? I agree with Mosey. It's the quarterback element. That's what it is. If Mahomes played running back, we would not be saying this. If Mahomes played wide receiver, we would not be saying this. Because Mahomes is the quarterback, we are all conditioned.
Touches the ball every play.
We're all conditioned to believe that the quarterback is the best
player.
Well, I
think there's
only
a handful of defensive players who can almost single-handedly win a game for his team, and he's
one of
them.
Those guys.
Exactly. When he's healthy.
That's how I look at it, yeah.
Well, good luck.
I mean, if we see him grabbing his groin or grabbing his rib in the first 10 plays, well, then they're out.
It's over. The grabbing the groin, you're going to be just praying he took a knee to it. Yes. Like in the I mean, as bad as that
I'm
is for one guy to wish that on another guy.
I'm not going
to
lie. I was nervous. Were you nervous when you saw him?
I just told my brother, I was like, I think he pulled his groin again. And my sister-in-law is sitting there going like, no, he definitely got kneed in the groin. Yeah. I was like, oh, much better.
He never got asked about that after the game.
I guess it was self-evident that he got, that it was a knee.
Yeah, it was a nice
took a knee.
How many NFL players wear a cup?
Few.
Well, first off, I don't know directly because I wasn't going around asking guys, hey, you got a cup one today?
Cup
man?
Check.
No, but I
mean, who's your favorite NBA GM, Mitch?
No,
cup check?
No, but equipment guys, are there jock straps with cups just...
I don't
know.
How
do you think this works?
Why would I...
Were you asking for it?
No. Okay. Like it's one thing to ask for a jock strap. Why am I asking for a jock strap cup and let me go look?
Because you don't want TJ Watt to get...
Let me shop your jock strap and your cups over here.
I don't know.
What size is he over here? Like, what I look like,
I'm
man?
Not asking for size.
you ask a lot of questions. You know what? I got the number for the equipment team. I'm going to give it to you. You call him and ask him about the cups,
I just wonder if preventative measures are taken to...
I mean, clearly in his case, they were not.
Yes, I know. That's why I don't know if it's a cautionary tale for more cups.
Oh, no, man.
You should have submitted
a
question.
Did you wear a cup when you played, Donnie?
No, I didn't.
Didn't cover up the Balzanos when you were playing? You just let them fly there?
I did not wear a cup.
Man, I haven't heard a cup since, like, I was in, like, rec ball. I remember my uncle. He had played, like, a while ago. He's like, yeah, man. I don't know how you young kids are out here with no cups on these days. I'm like, bro, what? Like, I'm not putting that on good,
that
man.
That's great.
I mean, kids, you'd always, always play in baseball. I didn't play football, but you'd play baseball and you'd hear the cautionary tales about so-and-so playing catcher who didn't have a cup and got hit with a pitch.
That makes sense.
Oh, that was horrifying.
Yes. But with football, I'm like, man, if I'm a good enough athlete, I'm moving fast enough. this is like once in a blue moon that I should ever have to worry about that happening.
One more on the Steelers' chances in Kansas City. If Tomlin came out today and had bad news on Najee, and we were looking at the Benny Snell, Kalen Ballage show in this game, would that be enough for you to be like, it's
yeah,
over?
I don't like that as much. I do think that Benny Snell came in and ran hard, but it's a difference between running hard and just being a productive runner. And I think with Najee, he's just naturally gifted. I mean, you saw the one-hand catch he had, makes a guy miss. Patrick Queen gets the first down. Benny could have made the catch, but I don't think he's making Patrick Queen miss, nor is he going to pick up that first down. That's the difference between a guy that plays hard and a guy that's really productive. So, yeah, you take Najee out of this lineup.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's – if you think about just the offensive productivity that he's accounted for this season, yeah, that makes this an even more daunting task.
We got a text in earlier in the show from someone trying to dunk on us for both teams having first-round running backs in this game, which apparently now is proof. That is
the Chiefs,
a prudent thing to do.
The Chiefs were like the one team who you could have justified
it.
They
didn't need anybody.
Right. They didn't need anything. Let's see. Green Bay has what? Aaron Jones. And Dylan was what? A second rounder? Who are the other favorites? I mean, Tampa Bay got Fournette, and if he's back and healthy, he was a scrap heap guy.
Exactly. He was on the open market.
Buffalo doesn't even know that there's a running back position. Was Mixon a second rounder?
Yep.
Okay.
Mixon was a second rounder. I'm trying to think who's in Buffalo.
Who's the guy who has helped with Joe Burrow transform the Bengals? Two first round wide receivers, which is a position people say you should take.
I think Josh Jacobs went with the same pick as Najee.
He did. Josh Jacobs is a first round back, but he, like Najee,
Derrick
takes
Henry,
unbelievable
not
punishment.
A first round back.
A second round back.
Yep. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
They got quality edge people in Frank Clark and Melvin Ingram. Melvin has been an awesome addition to him, particularly in terms of the point of attack. He takes a lot of the run game responsibilities. He plays on the tight end side or the three-man surface, and Melvin's the type of guy that you can't trade one for one with. This guy comes off one-on-one blocks and makes tackles. I mean, that was a big play he made last week that got him out of that stadium, blowing up that run in the backfield.
Mike Tomlin singing the praises of Melvin Ingram, who was traded to the Chiefs for a six-round pick because he was unhappy with his role here with the Steelers. That's been picked apart and kicked like a dead horse, but the comment there on what an awesome addition it's been when you had control over the situation.
Volunteers, Pony. Not hostages.
Yes, like James Washington, who's just...
What was that movie? Like The Negotiator, I think. That was a Denzel.
No, and that's Samuel L.
Negotiator. Samuel L. and Kevin Spacey.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right. I'm sorry.
I mean, just the irony...
Wait, Denzel was John Q. What?
Yes. Okay.
Just the irony of saying of someone you had earlier in the year, he's so good as an edge rusher against the run.
He's so good. Can you believe anyone would trade this guy?
He's not lying. You look at the Chiefs, and not even just from an eyeball test, but statistical principles. The defense has improved drastically, numbers-wise, since the trade. And Melvin does bring them a certain level of physicality and, you know, just playmaking in the run game. I mean, that is true. And I do like the fact that Coach T took this approach because I do feel like as fans, even as media, we do this a lot. Guys on our team, we love them. We hype them up. We praise them. Soon as he leaves, we try to talk like he's the worst player ever. Case in point, Steven Nelson. Okay? So, we could have done this again with Melvin. Coach T could have went that route. But he didn't. He just simply praised him and left it at that because he is a good player. And we all know, yeah, he would help us right now if he was still here. But that's the business side of it. Things didn't work out. It is what it is. But we're going to get a chance to see him. We're going to get a chance to, you know, change that narrative a little bit.
I just don't like when the business or the politics of football interfere with putting the best product right now on the field.
Now,
if you are not a good run defense, in fact, you're one of the worst, and you have someone on your roster who makes you better, give that person playing time.
So my question to you is this. Are you just now feeling that because it's Melvin Ingram? Or have you been feeling that all season when it's been Kendrick Green out there instead of J.C. Hassenauer?
No, you
have, have you been feeling that when it's been Devin Bush out there when he was struggling mightily at times instead of Robert Spillane?
Yeah,
I hear your anger right now.
No, he actually has been consistent on those
things.
Okay, because that's like one of my things, man, where it's like people will pick and choose, oh, this player
I don't think Ingram, though, is the biggest case of football politics getting in the way of the best team. I think that's obviously Green and Hassenauer.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's close.
Because we get that a lot here in Pittsburgh.
To me,
and we kind of like turn a blind eye to it situationally, but in this one, we're like, oh,
I'm not saying their offense looks good with Hassenauer in there consistently, but it looks like it looks like it can be competent. It looks like
It has looked good consistently because, number one, when Najee gets the ball, he's not having one, two, three people in his face. When Ben drops back to throw the ball, he's actually getting time to look. Now, this is the part where I do like it because we're getting a chance to see a little bit more clarity in terms of his ability or the lack thereof. Because remember, the whole excuse
he never has protection. He did the Mason Skipper to Claypool before he threw a dime to Freiermuth in that overtime.
I just wonder, you know, obviously we've had the Patriots and that dynasty jammed down our throat so many times. And so, like, they've become in this era of football the gold standard. And I just think of one of the tenets for Belichick all those years was, I don't care what we're paying you or where we drafted you, I'm going to play the better guy. Bledsoe gets $100 million. Brady comes in. They look better. It's your job, kid. Second year, six-round pick, you're the guy. I don't care what kind of hassle Bledsoe is around or how close he is to Robert Kraft. I'm playing Brady. Brian Cox at linebacker. I don't care that you're a vet that's made a lot of money. I'm going to bench you and play Teddy Bruschi, who was like a mid-round pick. Like, that's the kind of stuff he does.
Well, hasn't he traded players midseason,
yeah,
too?
I mean, you think about it, he traded, Chandler? Chandler Jones, when Chandler was leading the league in sacks.
Richard Seymour, Lawyer Malloy. I mean,
Jamie Collins.
Right, all these guys. Yeah. Bill Walsh was that way with the Niners. Like, there are just certain coaches and organizations that are ruthless when it comes to players. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's, I think, the one thing I respect about that, too, is when you do that, there's almost an admission like, we might have been kind of wrong about this guy, but we're okay with that because we're not going to let that get in
right.
the way.
They don't let the pride get in the way, whereas other organizations' pride does get in the way. I mean, that's very,
In that sense, yeah. They have never let pride get in the way. Belichick's pride has cost them, like when he benches Malcolm Butler on the day of the Super Bowl for reasons that still haven't become clear.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. But like, that's just a stubbornness that goes. Yeah.
So it's weird that he can compartmentalize and pick. In these situations, I will admit tacitly that I'd maybe misevaluate.
I think it's a difference between misevaluating and turning a blind eye to something disciplinary. Like, I don't feel like
we're going too far disciplinary.
But at the same time, we say it's too far because it's the Super Bowl. But if his value, if his moral is always discipline over everything, then he put that on full display. Whereas we criticize Coach T because at times he turns the blind eye to discipline in the sake of we want to win the AB situations. Mm-hmm. So we can't have it both ways where we'll criticize it.
The Butler situation? Did there ever get clarity on that?
I've heard some things that I'll tell you off the air about that.
Same, but they never really like publicly confirm, hey, it was this or it was that.
Yeah.
But either way, if it's in that vein, for some coaches, they would rather lose than turn a blind eye to it.
God, that would be.
I can respect it, though. I can respect it because, like I said, man, it takes a lot more gravitas to do that than it does to turn the blind eye. I think it's easy to turn the blind eye and say, it's the Super Bowl or it was the AFC Championship.
A room full of grown men who are all professionals. I would presume some consistency there would go a long way.
Arthur, do you, and this is, you know, your baby, your position, this is the thing you know about football above all else. Do you feel like with Ingram, you hear the football expression or term all the time, he sets the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like he does that consistently better than Highsmith?
I'm not saying he's better than Highsmith at all. I think Highsmith, since the trade, has elevated his play as well.
Okay, that's good.
I've always thought Highsmith could play the run well this year, but he's elevated it more so in the passing element of it in terms of just creating pressure versus some premier left tackles or good left tackles. That's the part for me where I like with Highsmith. But I think that Highsmith has played on par, or you can make a case even slightly better in some avenues than Ingram.
Okay.
But we're not going to act like Melvin Ingram being a part of our rotation.
Wouldn't help.
Like,
you can play three at the same
time.
They've done
that. Versus when we're hoping that we get a great taco game, we're hoping that Derek is going to give us something. Like, I don't like hanging my hat on those two guys. I really don't.
Like, I've seen some people tweet that Tuska and Ingram have, like, the same numbers.
Okay, relax.
Yeah, but this is the thing, though. Numbers are different than when you're watching the actual game and seeing the impact.
There you go.
Steve Spagnuolo's their coordinator. He said the guys made an unbelievable difference for
us. I could show you guys that have great numbers, and you cut on the tape, and you're like, well, how did you get these numbers? And it's like,
That's coping. That's coping from Steelers fans who just want to believe that something's not as big of a deal as it might have been.
But that's what I was alluding to earlier when I talked about the Steven Nelson thing, because as soon as Steven Nelson situation happened, people swore up and down that, man, Cam Sutton's going to be better than Steven Nelson. Mm-hmm. Justin Lane could be better than Steven Nelson. They was even trying to tell me that James Pierre was better than Steven Nelson.
Future superstar James Pierre to you.
Yeah, and I'm just like, man, what's going on here? But, you know, it's how it goes.
Donnie, do you have a good feeling about this game? You haven't chimed in. You were clairvoyant about the Jags.
Donnie, what do you think?
Are you ready to call another shot here and say Steelers over Chiefs?
I'll wait till later in the week.
What do you think Mike Tomlin's record is against teams in the playoffs that he lost to in the regular season? 9 times they've played a team in the playoffs the same year they lost to him in the regular season. What do you think their playoff game record is in those settings?
I'll say 6-3.
4-5, my friend.
Football, don't worry about it. Ask him what happened the last time he was in Kansas City for a playoff game.
I remember that, the Chris Boswell field goal game.
Okay.
Who was Kansas City's quarterback in that game?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't. Ask him what happened last time he was out there. Them same receivers they talk about. Ask him who was out there. Tyreek Hill, Travis. Ask him about those guys, Donnie Football. Ask him about them.
I actually saw a really cool thing at that.
That's back when Tyreek was returning kicks, too.
Oh, by the way.
He was the boogeyman back then. Come on now.
So wait a minute, Donnie. You're saying on Tuesday.
He was returning kicks back then,
You're saying on Tuesday your early thought on this game is that there's –
I feel better.
There's a pathway
to win.
I
feel better about this one than I did in the regular season.
I just feel like you don't sound as confident this week as you did last week, though. Last week, I felt like it was more of a daunting task. We got to beat Baltimore. Jags got to get the upset. And we got to have no tie.
You had an unhealthy belief in Jacksonville.
You set the tone. Now, this week, you're like, oh, I'm going to be a little more humble. Oh, I'm going to be a little more reserved.
It's the Mahomes effect.
It's still early. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, I want to wait these next couple of days, see how things develop. And
Mahomes
then
ain't getting COVID in the next 3 days, man. If he ain't on that COVID list, it doesn't matter.
Mahomes going to trip up the steps or something his shoulder?
Yeah, please elaborate. What are you
waiting
for development?
I can hope his little brother, like, ruins his life or something by then, too.
Jeez.
I'll tell you what. My wife, Amanda, hates that guy.
Yeah, he's a
Jackson Mahomes.
Yeah, he's a handful, man.
Isn't he just, he's a clout chaser. Yes. He's just chasing clout.
I don't know what it is, but Amanda's like rooting.
Didn't he dance on the Sean Taylor number?
She wants the Steelers
to win
this game.
There's no way Patrick Mahomes can like that. How has he not said to him, hey, you're my brother, you're your own person.
She wants the Steelers
like,
to
on,
win
man.
This game so bad because she doesn't like the Mahomes family. She doesn't like Jackson Mahomes.
I've heard that
she
a
doesn't
lot,
like
though,
Mrs. Mahomes.
Yeah, I've heard
she
that
doesn't
a lot.
Like
it's like a
his
combo.
Mom.
It's like a tandem. The
they hang
the
out
wife.
Together yes. while Patrick's doing yes. all the work, and they just go yes. like clout chasing.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I just don't understand. And he seems to thrive off of people telling him he's trash.
Yeah.
And he gets himself into all sorts of you know what it's like? Man. What, Frank Stallone, like the little brother of the famous actor, right? Wasn't, I mean,
that's
what,
how it
Johnny,
always is,
the guy
man.
Who played Johnny Drama is Kevin Dillon, Matt Dillon. Yeah. You know, it's the less famous sibling
that's
who always,
always
causes
is.
Problems. Didn't Bill
is.
Clinton have a brother named Roger who was causing him trouble?
A twin
Jimmy,
brother?
No, did he know Jimmy Monica? Carter? Oh, what about Monica. Billy Carter or something like that? Presidents have had this going on here.
Interesting.
Yeah. He's tough.
I just don't get what that dance is that he does before every game starts.
That's what
I mean.
That's
he's trying to make it his
man.
Thing.
That's just it. Like it's unique to him, or it's
no. It's
all over TikTok. It's widespread.
A lot of those dances are all over TikTok. Kind of like when you would see Juju do that dance that he was doing last year. He spin around, act like a reindeer, and I'm like, bro, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. But you go on TikTok, and that's how
it's
people,
blowing up.
That's how they dance now. I'm. It's just this generation. It's no different. Like in the 70s, everybody was face to face, holding hands. Our generation, it was a little, you know, front to back. We dance a little way. We dance, and now, you know, we're doing these little choreographed little dances. It's, I mean, to each his own.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Four from the pocket, launching downfield, underthrown, and intercepted. Kelee Ringo has an escort down the sidelines, all the way to the end zone, and Georgia is going to conquer the Crimson Tide.
That play got me the Paul Zeiss, Ryan Reynolds GIF treatment. You know that? I sent out a tweet about that play. And all
I
of a sudden,
I might have seen that like once or twice. Yeah.
And then Zeiss came back with the Ryan Reynolds face and palm tweet to me. That was his rebuttal. I just said Bryce Young not as good as Kenny Pickett this year. We saw Bryce Young without his big weapons, how he looked, how he
played.
Did
you put the this year qualifier in, or did you just write Bryce Young greater than sign Kenny Pickett?
I just did
Kenny
that.
Pickett greater than
there,
Bryce
there's
Young.
There's a character limit on Twitter.
Yeah, it's 280. You used like 25 of them.
Yeah, effectively.
But you wouldn't. You didn't want to qualify.
I felt better about my Heisman vote after that game.
Didn't you also suggest that Chiefs fans making fun of Ben Roethlisberger by aging him in a picture was close to the legal definition of libel as
yes,
well?
Yes, I did.
What is the legal definition of libel?
We don't have time for it.
Oh, we have a character limit
on
this segment?
We don't want to bog people down with the minutia of law.
Well, shouldn't you know the legal definition of libel before you suggest what it is?
I do.
Or infer
I just don't feel like going into it right now.
Oh, is this like you have a girlfriend who's in Canada when you're a kid? Like, oh, yeah, my girlfriend, she's from Canada. She's actually super cool.
What part?
Right,
it's Canada. Don't worry about it.
She's from Canada. She's too cool to talk to you guys. She doesn't want to come down here. Yeah, she's super cute.
They're falsely representing Ben Roethlisberger. That's not how he looks.
Now, the beard's only a little bit more gray than it should be in that picture.
It's white.
Yeah. I mean, how do you know he's not using beard, coloring? Just for men or whatever.
Does he send the family back to Kansas City 3 weeks later?
Maybe it was bad luck last
time. Did they get a full box again of Roethlisberger?
Wait a minute. Didn't we find out that he's very superstitious when we talked to his former agent, Lee Steinberg? He said Ben did not buy him tickets to an AFC title game after getting him tickets to the first one where
they
lost
to New England,
and
he wasn't.
And he said, "You're never invited to another."
You're right. I think they're done.
I would not invite him. I would say, "Hey, y'all could watch this wherever y'all want, just not in Arrowhead Stadium."
Yeah.
I think that's most likely. I don't know. His wife didn't look like that she was having like the greatest time watching them get their heads kicked. Yeah, but
it's hard to enjoy when you're down that much, man.
They showed her in the luxury suite, and she looked about as happy as every other Steelers fan when that game was like completely out of hand.
Did you guys see the picture of on that interception return? Somebody took a photo of Kirby Smart mid jump. He honestly looks like he has spud webs ups, dude. Like he has a 2 foot vertical. Did you see that picture?
I saw the picture, yeah.
I don't think I saw the picture, and I actually watched the game.
Like I was stunned. I think that there are probably at least 15 NFL quarterbacks that he could jump higher than. It was baffling how high off the ground he was.
Holy crap!
I know, dude.
The only thing I can say is when I've noticed this, if you ever watch like a professional photographer shoot an NBA game, now NBA players can actually get up like 3.5 feet. It looks like some of these dudes are 7 feet off the ground because of the angles. So I'm sure that's a little kind to Kirby but still.
Also, the knees are bent.
Right.
That's
great trick.
I didn't think he had that kind of bend.
Yeah. The bend part was impressive, but the bend will give you deception that he's a lot higher than what he really is.
But every. Yeah.
It looks good, though, man. I like the picture, bro.
No running start.
It does make it look like he's levitating like up to Georgia heaven above all sideline, dude.
It's crazy.
Oh, I love it.
I mean, he looks like a guy that has like a pretty good Kirby Smart dresses like a Southern guy who works for like a
an accounting firm.
Yes,
like
exactly.
He's like the he's like the Athens, Georgia
wears
branch
his visor,
of Deloitte.
Tucks his shirt in every day. Always wears khakis.
Yeah.
Always wears khakis.
Brags about the return on like his investments.
Oh, you wouldn't believe what some of my offshore, 30%, portfolio. Yeah,
try 35.
Cayman Islands, please. You know what? I watched that game because I didn't want to get like made fun of for going to sleep.
Oh, you stayed up for the whole thing. Congratulations! Wow,
man, I couldn't help but feel real good for Stetson Bennett because
he needed it. Yeah.
He got made fun of by people like me. That people like me picked against Georgia in this game because of him. Yeah. Like he ain't gonna be good enough. And not only was he good enough, he did it when his back was against the wall and he had just screwed up. He's crying the whole time, looking like the player version of Jimmy V, looking for somebody to hug and cry on. And then the coolest thing Stetson Bennett did was this morning give some of the most hungover interviews of all time to, like, the Today Show. He looked like he was still wasted, which, good for him, he should have been.
I would hope he celebrated like that,
There's
man.
This new trend where college football players just smoke the biggest cigars after...
The Burrow. Yeah. They're doing the Burrow.
I like it, man.
But they're indoors.
Well, I think nobody...
What you mean?
Who's going to stop them?
Who cares? You just won a championship.
Yeah, the rules are different, Pony.
Yeah, it's like when you spray champagne in a locker room. You wouldn't spray champagne any other time indoors like that.
What if teams did after just like their second win of the
same
season?
Way a bunch of
19-year-old
knuckleheads.
Though. You still would ruin your property. If I come in here and spray champagne, man, not even talking about the equipment, but like it's going to mess up stuff, man. That amount of champagne?
They're not out there like just putting cigars out on each other. They're out there like Scarface, you know.
Cigar.
I heard through the grapevine that in that stadium, that Colts stadium, obviously, they have a strict no-smoking policy like every other NFL stadium or indoor facility. But Jim Irsay is such a chain smoker that in his owner's box, he has like a – like you see at a casino where they're just pumping oxygen in and goes into like a little glass room and just smokes and watches the game by himself.
Wow.
It's a pretty big flex.
I think I've actually heard that story about him too. Man, he is a weird
like,
dude.
Hey, taxpayers, you're building me the stadium. Oh, and by the way, can you also just
build me a smoking box.
A little room for me?
A little smoke room.
I need
to smoke and watch my football team
Daddy
play.
Needs to just fill those lungs with pungent cigar smoke.
Pitt fans livid that in the ESPN next day top 25 preseason rankings, the Panthers were not included.
The only reason I would be super mad about that as a college football fan is if I knew my team had serious designs in the playoff and like they were behind a team that might go undefeated and I thought my team
that
could, because then it becomes very tough to jump that
Clemson,
team.
Clemson, North Carolina State, and Wake Forest all got the
Clemson
top
for obvious
reasons.
Those teams, they'll see some of those teams. They'll get a chance.
I mean, if Slovis is legit, if he has a freshman year at USC, Keaton Slovis, they are going to be real good again.
Absolutely.
And they are very
possibly.
He's
on Heisman watch lists.
Absolutely.
They are very possibly going to be the only team
that
can
sense.
Challenge Clemson
How does
Clemson
the quarterback
again?
Get on Heisman watch lists, but the team doesn't get?
Well, because he wasn't on the team a year ago. So I think
No, but I'm saying if they're projecting he could be a Heisman winner, why wouldn't they project Pitt to be a top 25 team?
I just think that they're looking at it as saying that, hey, man, we didn't necessarily believe in the Pitt team. We believe in Kenny Pickett.
Right, that's exactly it.
It's like, man, we've seen him at least look good.
So we believe in him. We don't know if, you know, this team is going to look good, but we believe in that player at least.
It's very weird, too, because they're bringing back Addison, who won the Biletnikoff. They're bringing back that whole offensive line. They're bringing back some dudes on. They apparently have turned into defensive linemen like, you know, poor man's version of Alabama or something like that, or Georgia.
Or Clemson.
But you know what I mean? Like, the next tier down, they suddenly are churning out guys. I thought that the Kenny Pickett year would be, like, kind of a one-off for them. You get Slovis, you have all these guys come back, which, by the way, helps your guys who are trying to be the next wave because there's less pressure.
And it's going to help with your recruiting.
Man,
well,
suddenly
man.
They should have. They look like they have a bunch of dudes, at least by ACC, like the curved grade of the ACC Coastal standard.
I think that their game against West Virginia is going to be the Thursday night kickoff the college football season primetime game.
Oh, man.
And all eyes will be on Pitt to start the season. There'll be 70,000 fans at Heinz
Field.
How
drunk will Amanda Filippone be that night?
Yeah, we won't be watching on TV, because if I don't get tickets for that game, she'll divorce me. She'll find another guy who will. That's pretty much the bind.
That sounds like the game you got to go to. You going to that game, man?
Well, now they're saying West Virginia quarterback's going to be the other USC guy.
Yeah.
That's the other subplot.
USC that
West Virginia is
going to
get West Virginia is going to get Jackson Dart in the transfer portal, and it's going to be
what kind of a name is that, by the way?
It's going to be the guy that beat out Slovis.
Yeah.
I mean, that is going to be mind-boggling.
Just add to the rivalry, man.
His old offensive
the USC
coordinator
Bowl
is
brought
the
to you by Lincoln Riley.
His West Virginia, West Virginia's OC was Slovis's
Wait, who
OC
did they just
at
hire
USC.
For that? I'm sorry,
Harrell.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I couldn't think of the name. Did you see that? Speaking of which, we never got to this. Did you see Charlie Batch offered through his business $1 million to Caleb Williams to come to Eastern Michigan?
That. That's not a bad deal, though.
I mean, that's incredible.
That's not a bad deal. I don't
Could you just imagine randomly if Williams like, you know what?
I'll take the bill.
I'll take you up on that million.
I'll take the million.
I got my insurance policy.
Here. Yeah, he's going to ball out
wherever
he goes.
85 touchdowns here.
But why wouldn't another one of these football factories just offer
I mean,
more?
I think that they are probably. They just aren't publicizing it.
Correct. It's different when it's public. Public million, it's like, hey, we all know about this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.